Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Hello and welcome, Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. Thank you for joining us. Less than 1 week until the NFL draft. Oh, such a fun time of year, not just for fantasy players, but NFL fans. You get to unwrap all your shiny new presents. You get to speculate on everything that your teams, your favorite teams are going to do, where your favorite players are going to land. And to that end, we've already broken down in previous shows, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and today we'll do tight ends. And it will be shorter because there's only a handful of relevant tight ends in this year's draft. Next week, I'll mention, you know, we record on Fridays, as you may be aware. And so we'll go through sort of quick Twitch reactions to the first round. Now, I say we. Normally, my co-host Brian Johnson is here. He's off today dealing with some dog-related issues. Get well, Stella. And so just me today. I hope you like the sound of my voice. Let's begin by looking at teams that have an immediate need at tight end. And there are a surprising number of teams that could have a tight end, drafted tight end, come in and make an immediate impact. The Jets, assuming they're ready to move on from the Chris Herndon failed experiment. Cincinnati just has CJ Uzomah. Houston, Jordan Akins is a guy who looks the part, but the production just hasn't been there. For Jacksonville, the aged and ever forever broken down Tyler Eifert is there. That's it. Tennessee has Anthony Firkser, who's looked pretty good after Janu left, and maybe a good enough contributor that he doesn't lose his job, but that's probably a spot where they'd like to get some reinforcement. The Chargers have Jared Cook, who's bounced around the league a lot and has generally underperformed where he's been. Carolina has Dan Arnold. Now, if Brian Johnson were here, he would tell you that Carolina's got all the tight end they need in Dan Arnold. Maybe he'll eventually get proven right on his Dan Arnold takes. New Orleans has Adam Trautman and Nick Vinette. And Arizona has Max Williams. And I'll mention Seattle has got Will Disley. I think these are all teams that are in play for the tight end position. As you probably already know, by far the best tight end in the draft and maybe the best player in the draft is Kyle Pitts from Florida. His projection is the top end of the first round. And if I had to pick one person from this year's rookie class to go to the Hall of Fame, it would be Kyle Pitts. He's 6'6", 245 pounds. He's a power forward. Now, he's a little bit thinner than Travis Kelce, which is why I think the NFL comparable, and I see NFL comparables to him with Kelce a lot. I think it's closer to Darren Waller myself because of that size, but he's only 20 years old. So Kyle Pitts can fill out his frame at the NFL level, which will help his blocking as well. And if he does fill out that frame, maybe he does become Travis Kelce. He has had an insane level of production. That Florida offense really ran through him. And get this, Kyle Pitts averaged 18 yards per catch for a tight end. I mean, it's amazing for any position, but tight end, that's unbelievable. He is the rare tight end who can get separation against cornerbacks. His footwork and his route running are really at wide receiver levels. And then, because he's 6'6", he's got the huge wingspan, just the massive catch radius, and then excellent body control with the ball in the air. Kyle Pitts had zero drops last year. None. And then, not that he needed this, but he ran a 4.44 at his pro day, which ranks him in the 99th percentile among tight ends. Unbelievable. There's so few downsides to Pitts. I'll mention just a couple small things. He doesn't always play super fast. I mentioned his 4.44, but doesn't always play that fast. And his blocking is not elite at this level. It's not terrible, but the production should get better as a blocker, as he fills out his frame as he gets a little bit older. Definitely in play as early as Cincinnati at pick 5. And if Pitts doesn't go there, I can't see him getting by Carolina at pick 8. And the absolute lowest would be the Chargers as they look to replace Hunter Henry at pick 13. But again, I think Cincinnati at 5, it makes a ton of sense, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him go there. But he is not the only, although this is not a great draft for tight ends outside of Pitts, he's not the only fantasy-relevant tight end that we're going to talk about as we head to head into the draft. Pat Freiermuth is the Penn State kid that is projected to go in the second round. He's about the 20th tight end to be called Baby Gronk, but it's more earned here than most. He's incredibly physical. Freiermuth just punishes potential tacklers. Very tough tackle. He's got good ball tracking skills, which is common among basketball players turned tight ends like he is. He got open a ton at Penn State and was an excellent blocker, and that offense largely ran through him. Now, he does not have high-end tight end speed, and he will get caught from behind. He did drop some passes. And this past season, he only played 4 games this year and then suffered a shoulder injury and opted out of the rest of the season. Freiermuth currently projects into the second half of the second round, but that's actually a really good landing spot for some good offenses. He could go to the Saints, the Titans, the Seahawks, and Freiermuth would be very interesting on any of those 3 teams end of the second round. Now, the next tight end that's expected to be drafted is not a fantasy notable tight end because he's a run blocker. His name's Tommy Treble from Notre Dame. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about him because he's not very fantasy relevant unless something really changes here. He's Pro Football Focus's top-ranked run-blocking tight end this year. He's 241 pounds. They expect him to fill into that more. Excellent speed at the second level and terrific vision and instincts to find the next man to block. But he was not involved in the passing game. And so that's all the more time we're going to spend on Tommy Treble. Next up is a guy named Hunter Long, who played at BC. He was the focal point of the BC offense. He's a do-it-all tight end with no real holes in his game, including blocking. He's pretty physical. He welcomes contact. He's got above average speed. He's got good hands. You can see him do some good stuff after the pass. But he just looks to me to be very average or above average in everything. And I didn't see anything that looks that special for Hunter Long. Didn't get a ton of separation. Looks like an average athlete. I think he's just kind of a guy unless something changes. So he did not do a ton for me. The fifth and final rookie tight end I want to talk to you about is Brevin Jordan. He's more interesting. Now, he projects into the sixth round. So here we are. The top 5 tight ends, there may only be 5 tight ends drafted through 6 rounds. It's that weak of a position. But from a fantasy standpoint, Brevin Jordan's interesting because he really is a true pass-catching tight end only. And because of that, he's much more fantasy relevant than some of the other guys that may get drafted around him or after him. Problem is, he's a real project who's probably going to need 2 to 3 years to develop if the development happens at all. And usually in the 6th round, you don't get a lot of development from tight ends. He rarely was asked to block at Miami. They just threw to him a ton. He's one of the fastest tight ends in the draft. He ran a 4.6 at his pro day, and that helps him get a lot of separation from linemen. And really, looks like a running back after the catch. Just a very fluid, natural, big-bodied runner who broke 21 tackles in his 3 years at Miami. Again, that's Brevin Jordan. Downsides, again, rarely asked to block. He's a little on the smaller side. Didn't necessarily win a lot of contested catches. And that's, again, a product probably of him being smaller. So he's somebody you could look at. If you're in a very deep dynasty or empire league, Brevin Jordan, depending on where he falls, could end up being helpful. There you go. The 5 rookie tight ends worthy of note. When we come back, I just want to hit on some of the news from around the NFL over the past couple of weeks, because we've been so focused on tight ends. We really haven't hit on some of the, I'll admit it, it's just modest news. But when we come back, some of the news from around the NFL. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchin with you. Again, Brian Johnson off this week. Expect him back next week. Some news from around the league. Julian Edelman retired after 11 seasons. His story is really pretty incredible. If you look at, you know, where he came from, was not expected to be a wide receiver, and all the production that he ultimately ended up having, and had to really carry a lot of the receiving load for Tom Brady and the Patriots offense many, many times. Notable, I think, mostly for Julian Edelman. And by the way, you know, he was one of those guys, nobody ever seemed to like be happy to pick up Julian Edelman. You drafted him as the 25th wide receiver off the board. But darn if that guy did not, especially in PPR leagues, end up finishing as like wide receiver 15, 17. Most of the time you got return on whatever draft spot you took Julian Edelman in. Now the Patriots receiver group without Edelman is bad. Nelson Aguilar surprised us last year with a shocking amount of productivity. I'm not nearly as confident in this offense. There's Jacoby Myers, who flashed a little bit last year. And then they gave Kendrick Bourne an absurdly big deal, which was a bad decision, I think. And those are your Patriots starters right now. We don't really know who the quarterback's going to be yet. I guess it could be Cam Newton. And I know there are a lot of Cam Newton apologists that will give you every excuse in the book for last year's terrible play and 8 touchdowns in 15 games played. But if it's Cam Newton, I don't think any of these guys are going to be reliable fantasy producers. Next, James Conner signs with Arizona. That reunites him with Cardinals running back coach James Saxon, who worked as the Steelers running back coach for 5 years. Now, this does muddy the waters for Chase Edmonds, who already suffered because they never gave him the ball at the stripe, and Conner could end up getting that work, and Conner could end up getting some, you know, just regular rotational work anyway. I thought Conner looked terrible last season, and I'm not convinced that he brings a ton to the table here. So Connor honestly doesn't worry me that much, but I do have concern that Cliff Kingsbury is going to do a lot of what he did last year, and that's use two guys pretty evenly. And that would be unfortunate for those hoping for better things ahead for Chase Edmonds. It's a tricky spot for Edmonds right now, and there's a lot of risk. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Cardinals, take a running back in the draft. Last note from around the NFL, Gio Bernard signed with Tampa, and that clouds an already murky backfield. RotoWire notes that no backfield had a higher drop rate than Tampa's last year, and they had a 14.5% drop rate, which is double the league's average drop rate of 6.6%. So Giovanni Bernard brings good hands, and I think he really walks into the LeSean McCoy role of that offense from last year. And McCoy was not a fantasy viable player, and I don't think Bernard will be either. And you have the constant frustrations that come with a Bruce Arians back. You never know who's going to be the lead back, the guy that's going to get paid in any given game. That's going to be very frustrating. Leonard Fournette, obviously there. Ronald Jones returns. Those guys had plenty of drops. Keyshawn Vaughn did nothing last year. Bernard, also a good pass blocker. I just think he's going to be involved in the passing game. But it would be fascinating if he turns into James White. And that would be a best-case scenario, is that Brady starts utilizing Gio Bernard like he did James White. And that would be the best possible outcome. Now, no back was used that way last year, but maybe they just didn't have a back that was good enough to be used that way last year, and perhaps Gio Bernard's going to be that guy. That would be pretty darn awesome, honestly, and that would be the best-case scenario, again, for Gio Bernard. Thank you for listening to a shorter-than-normal version of Fantasy Football Weekly. Brian Johnson back next week. We'll recap the first round next week. Can't wait for the draft. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.